Everyone has a fave Wendy's Frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new Frosty Swirls and Frosty Fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo Brownie Fusion, Pop-Tarts Strawberry Fusion, Strawberry Swirl, Brownie Batter Swirl, Caramel Swirl, and Caramel Crunch Fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to Frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co., LLC. Used with permission.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the show that explores the background of Tolkien's amazing world from the very beginning. The more I read through this book again for this project that we've been doing, this very close, extremely close reading of The Hobbit, the more I am impressed at the pacing and the way that Tolkien reveals things about characters in very obvious but then also very subtle ways. In today's episode, we get the first two poems / songs in the book, both done by the dwarves. And I don't know if you're like me, but I remember my feelings about the poetry in the book from maybe not the very first time I read this, back when I was in like fifth grade, but definitely from other times when I would look back and read through a passage or reread the book when I was much younger. And I remember wanting to skip the poems. I'm sure I did on my first reading. I probably just jumped over them and I was like, oh, they sing a song about plates and knives. Okay. And then I moved on with the story. But these poems are here for a very important reason, and we're going to get to that for each of these different songs. Well, let's call them songs from this point on, because that's how they're presented in the books. They're written as poetry, because Tolkien enjoyed writing poetry, but in the story, they're sung, and they reveal some very interesting things about these dwarves that we have only just met, and their relationship with our host, Bilbo Baggins. So let's get into it. So we're picking up with the paragraph that goes like this. "Confiscate and be bother these dwarves," he said aloud. This is Bilbo. "Why don't they come and lend a hand?" Lo and behold, there stood Balin and Dwalin at the door of the kitchen, and Fili and Kili behind them. And before he could say knife, they had whisked the trays and a couple of small tables into the parlor and set out everything fresh. And right here, right off the bat, in this episode, we get something that tells us what the dwarves are actually like. They are friendly. They are good guests. When they see their host is struggling, they stand up and they say, "Hey, can we help?" And notice who stood up to offer their help. Balin and Dwalin, two of the older dwarves, and Fili and Kili, two of the youngest dwarves. They represent the entire group, and yet they're just a small portion of the entire group. I have to wonder, did Gandalf maybe nudge them, but no, I think that the dwarves themselves understand social norms. And those social norms are very, very important in their culture. And so they stood up and offered their host some help. Now, this is after eating lots of food. This is after the whole thing that we ended with last week where Gandalf requests the wine, and then Thorin says, yeah, some for me too, and Biffer says, raspberry jam and apple tarts, and they end up eating a lot more food. And by the way, we're reminded a little bit later that this wasn't even supper. This was most likely dinner, according to Hobbit tradition. And yet the dwarves seem very, very keen on this idea of, well, we're going to be a while, so supper sounds delicious. But I'm getting ahead of myself. In the next paragraph, we learn that they all sit around the table. Gandalf at the head of the party, 13 dwarves all around. Notice that Thorin isn't at the head of the party. I think this tells us from a very early section of this book that Gandalf is ultimately the one in charge. Thorin is respected among the other dwarves, for sure. We've already been given signs that that is the case. But Gandalf is ultimately the leader here. And I love the description of Bilbo in this section. We learn that he sits over by the fireside on a stool, not a chair. He's putting himself out a little bit as the host to make sure that his guests are all comfortable. And we learn that he nibbles at a biscuit. He's not really hungry anymore. And then it says, trying to look as if this was all perfectly ordinary and not in the least an adventure. It's as if he's already realized subconsciously that he is being swept up in an adventure, and he's fighting against it. And the dwarves eat, and then we have the conversation about, oh, I suppose you will stay for supper, he says in a polite, unpressing tone. And of course, Thorin responds and says, yes, of course. And after, we shan't get through the business till late, and we must have some music first, now to clear up. This is the first time we get music mentioned. And to my young mind, reading through this originally, this was a little confusing. As far as we know, at this point in the book, these dwarves are important people. They're on some sort of special adventure. They are being led by a wizard. They have important things to discuss. And yet, we're told that that can wait because they need to have music first. I don't know about you, but when was the last time that you were in, for example, an important board meeting at work or something like that, and instead of going right into it, they were like, all right, but we need to take a break and have some music. In our culture, we go to like a conference or something. We spend the whole day doing meetings, taking a break for lunch, and then maybe in the evening, on the last day of the conference, you have like a concert or something like that, depending on the industry that you're in. But no, in dwarven culture, comfort and entertainment is important. And at first, I struggle with this. I'm like, well, but they have important things to talk about. But what about their psychological well-being? I would imagine when you are a people who have been ostracized from your home, have lived through the tragedy of losing many, many friends and neighbors, and then struggling for a considerable period of time to find your place in the world. For a community that's gone through that, mental health becomes a high priority. It's not just because they enjoy music. It's because they are focusing on making sure that they can get through what they need to get through. Music is a source of bonding, and it's a time to relax and focus. And yet this first song, the first song we get, makes fun of their host. We get this paragraph here. It says, thereupon the 12 dwarves, not Thorin, because he was too important, which is interesting, and I'll note that he's not leading from the front here. But we do get some other info. It says that he stayed and talked to Gandalf. So I have to wonder if he needed to talk with Gandalf privately while the rest of them were busy. But they jump to their feet. They make tall piles of all the things. And then off they go, balancing the trays and columns and acting like a very coordinated group. And this is one of the things I think they did really well in the movie. The dwarves are comedically, and that's an interesting point here too. This is a comedic scene, first of all, but they are comedically organized and coordinated and talented. And although the song makes fun of Bilbo, he's squeaking with fright. Please be careful and please don't trouble. I can manage. He's trying to tell them, no, I got this. You guys don't need to do this. You're going to break my stuff, because he cares about the comforts of home. The dwarves make fun of him in the song. And we'll read through the entire song. I want to go through this entire song word by word. But the one thing I want you to be aware of in this is that this is not the dwarves making fun of Bilbo because they don't like him. This is the dwarves treating Bilbo as if he's already an insider. If you are somebody who grew up with a bunch of siblings, or it's more common among young men, but you have a group of friends or brothers, you pick on each other, right? You make these little jabs, you say these little things, and it's not because you don't like each other, it's how you know you do like each other. And the dwarves are doing this to Bilbo here. The song goes, chip the glasses and crack the plates immediately from the beginning. Do the things that Bilbo's telling us not to do, even though we're not doing them. Blunt the knives and bend the forks. That's what Bilbo Baggins hates. Smash the bottles and burn the corks. Cut the cloth and tread on the fat. Pour the milk on the pantry floor. Leave the bones on the bedroom mat. Splash the wine on every door. And these are, of course, ridiculous things. Why would you put the bones on a bedroom mat? It's funny. This is supposed to be funny. Dump the crocks in a boiling bowl. Pound them up with a thumping pole. And when you've finished, if any are whole, send them down the hall to roll. That's what Bilbo Baggins hates. So carefully, carefully with the plates. Notice it ends with them saying, don't do any of the things we just listed. We were just teasing you. Be careful. The very next line of prose after this poem is done is, and of course they did none of these dreadful things, and everything was cleaned and put away safe as quick as lightning. This tells us so much about this party of dwarves who just showed up out of nowhere. They are friendly and helpful, and they may tease you a bit along the way, but that's all in good fun. These are good people. So this poem exists for a few different reasons, right? First, it's funny, not only to the reader, but maybe also to the dwarves themselves. They're having a laugh. They're in good spirits. They've probably had one of the best meals they've had in a very long time on the open road. It shows also that Bilbo is not very good at hiding his feelings. He's been trying to play it cool this whole time, but the dwarves can tell. He's on edge. And so they tease him for it as almost a way to break that. We also know that the dwarves are good at teasing. This is part of their community, part of this brotherhood, in a sense, of this group of travelers. And yet they're good-natured and helpful. We also know that Tolkien enjoyed writing poems. And this was an opportunity to write poems. And we don't have a chance to get into the details here, but poems show up all throughout his works. And in his day, he wasn't necessarily known by the popular poets of the day as being a good poet. In fact, some of them had some very critical things to say about the poems that show up in some of his books. But I think what was more important to Tolkien about his poetry wasn't so much that it was perfect in the eyes of his contemporaries. It was that the forms of the poem and the way that they worked in the rest of the literature made sense. The types of poetry that he uses harken back to the cultures that are referenced in his works and that were inspiration for the cultures in his books. And they also do something for the narrative. They're not just there because he wanted to put a song in the middle of the story. They're there because they reveal things about the characters. And as we'll see in the next poem about where the journey is going, his poems often tell us something of the past or the present or the future that we may not have been aware of if it weren't for that poem. I have to wonder if I could go back and tell my younger self all of this, if I would have listened. I probably would have just rolled my eyes and said, yeah, whatever. So they go back, and they find Thorin with his feet on the fender smoking a pipe. And he's blowing these smoke rings. We end up, this is the second time we get smoke rings. But these smoke rings are different. And I think they're different for a specific reason. It says here, he was blowing the most enormous smoke rings. And wherever he told one to go, it went. Up the chimney, or behind the clock on the mantelpiece, or under the table, or round and round the ceiling. But wherever it went, it was not quick enough to escape Gandalf's. Pop. He sent a smaller smoke ring from his short clay pipe straight through each one of Thorin's. And Gandalf's rings are even crazier. They go green and come back to hover over the wizard's head. They truly do appear to be magical. And so I have some questions for you here. Are Thorin's smoke rings actually magic? Is this a view of dwarven magic? Or is he somebody that is just good with parlor tricks? Does he understand the way the air is flowing through the room? And he knows that if he blows a smoke ring in a certain way, it will travel in a certain way. Or is this just more silly fun for us, the reader? Gandalf's clearly looks like magic. Or he's just even more skilled. It doesn't exactly say which. And Bilbo watches this unfurl. It says he loved smoke rings, but then he blushed to think how proud he had been yesterday morning of the smoke rings he sent up the wind over the hill. Because that's when Gandalf sat down next to him and complimented his smoke rings. What we are seeing here is, I think, a combination of things. First, Bilbo's starting to realize the kinds of people that he has in his home right here. And secondly, he's being drawn ever so gently and ever so intentionally into this adventure. It is appealing more and more to his Took side. And we're going to see more of that in the next section. But first, we have to go thank our patrons, so don't go anywhere.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co. LLC. Used with permission.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. Welcome. I hope you are enjoying these Hobbit episodes. I hope you also, for the patrons, are enjoying the adventures of my character in Lord of the Rings Online, who is named, thanks to those of you who joined in the live chat as I was designing him, Tomdalin of Gondolin. Yes, that is my character. He is a high elf. He is a captain, and he is currently questing through Lord of the Rings Online. I did my first stream yesterday. Thank you for showing up. That should be up for everybody who's a patron to either listen to or watch. You can do either. And I will be doing more of those on occasion whenever I get the opportunity. So make sure you follow over at twitch.tv/robotsradio. Also, thank you so much for the patrons, and welcome to our newest patrons. We've got a bunch that joined in this last week. Bill the Pony, Cacper K, Helen H, Joey E, Jordan, Peter H, and Jacob R, as I scroll through and make sure I don't miss any. Thank you so much for joining. I hope you're enjoying all the things that you're getting as part of the Patreon. Also, we have to shout out our VIP patrons who get shout outs every week. AK Music Lover, Apollo, Aragorn III, Alte Morton, Austin C, Azzle Razzle, Barney D, Bo, Black Squirrel, Brandy D, Cutter Metalworks, Daniel Nightweaver, David S, David N, Divine Madman, Fulcrum, Gimli A Break, Gemma D, Jesse P, Jezzer, Katie S, Capenna, Lori B, Mason Weathertop, Michael M, Nick K, Nostrils of Sauron, Patrick W, Richard J., Rivqua, Rosie Rose, Sam B., Seju, TJT, and Tour Son of Hoor. Thank you so much. Holy moly, I made it through all of those this time. I might be getting better at that. Also, if you want to help out in other ways, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I'll read that out on a future episode of the show. I don't have any new ones to read this week, so if you leave one, I'll probably read it next week. Also, you can share it with your friends. You can rate on whatever platform you're on. All of that stuff is helpful. And please, absolutely, come hang out with me when I'm streaming on Twitch. I would love to get to know you and answer questions or just chat about the stuff that we're doing or joke around about my Lord of the Rings Online playthrough. Any of that stuff would be awesome. Thanks for being a part of the community. And let's continue with our look at the dwarves and their songs. Here we go. So the whole thing with the smoke rings dies down, and maybe that's why Thorin didn't get up, is because he wanted to play smoke rings with his old buddy Gandalf. Who knows? But there's a call for music. Thorin says, "Now for some music. Bring out the instruments." And of course, this is another comedic situation. You wouldn't expect these travelers on the road to have at least some of these instruments. I mean, maybe you keep a flute in your pocket, or a harmonica, something travel-sized, but they bring out fiddles. And here, let's just go through it. They brought back little fiddles. Dori, Nori, and Ori brought out flutes. That was Keely and Philly with the fiddles, Nori, Dori, and Ori with the flutes from somewhere inside their coats. Bomber produced a drum from the hall. Biffer and Boffer went out too and came back with clarinets that they had left among the walking sticks. So of course we didn't notice them. They looked like walking sticks. Dwalin and Balin said, "Excuse me, I left mine in the porch." "Just bring mine in with you," said Thorin. They came back with viols as big as themselves and with Thorin's harp wrapped in a green cloth. I believe this is both meant to be comedic, because what were they using to carry these instruments around? You wouldn't just walk around with a viol, or viola, I think is probably what that means, or a freaking harp just out in the world. You'd have to put it in something to carry it. And if it's an instrument that's as big as you are, because you're a dwarf, then where are the pack animals with the wagons that you had put these things in? They're not to be seen, and yet the dwarves have these instruments. It's kind of like a clown car sort of situation, or like a magic trick, right? Where things keep coming out of the pocket. But this also tells us something else about the dwarves. Music, again, is very important. It's even more important than the dish putting away song that we have before. These are individuals who know how to play their instruments. They probably play them nightly. This is something that they do regularly to bond with each other, to let off some steam. I'm a musician myself. There are very few situations in my life that I found as rewarding as working with other musicians regularly on our songs. Now, you couldn't have blamed Bilbo for thinking that maybe he was drunk or enchanted, that all of these instruments just showed up out of nowhere, but I think enchanted might be even closer to the truth. We know that Bilbo was prone to exaggeration, so maybe in writing this story later, there weren't exactly all of these instruments, but maybe there were. Or maybe he was just so enchanted with this song that he couldn't remember straight. We get these really interesting passages here where Bilbo forgets everything after Thorin strikes up the music with his harp. It's as if there's a spell on him. Because it says that he was swept away into dark lands under strange moons, far over the water and very far from his hobbit hole, under the hill. It's as if he was already on this adventure in his mind. And then we get these descriptions of the passing of time, but it's done in a very interesting way. It says here, "The dark came into the room from a little window that opened in the side of the hill." As if the dark was a character itself, not just the shadows of the evening creeping into the room as the sun moved over the horizon. The dark itself. And then in the next paragraph, the dark filled all the room, and the fire died down, and the shadows were lost, and yet they continued to play on. This is another one of those scenes that I can remember very vividly from the movies, because they really nailed the feeling here. And it's not a dark that is scary or dangerous. It is a dark that is enchanting and mysterious. The dark of the evening. And then we get their song and a description of their voices, deep, like the homes, their ancient homes, like the caves and the dwellings that they came from. And then we get the song itself. Far over the misty mountains cold, to dungeons deep and caverns old, we must away ere break of day to seek the pale enchanted gold. Now you may have noticed something right here in this first section of the poem / song. This is clearly not something that could have been written ahead of time, because they are saying we must away ere break of day. They're talking about this moment now, and yet somehow they all know the words together. And I always thought that was a little silly, not silly in a funny haha sort of way, but silly in a, well, that kind of breaks the reality of the moment sort of way. But when you have an understanding of Tolkien's influences from mythology and older literature, this is something that happens in those kinds of stories as well. It's akin to looking back at a musical and everybody just busts out in song while somebody's in a grocery store and going, well, that never happens. You start to understand that, of course, that never happens. It's part of conveying the story, the mood, who these characters are, what is important to them, how they feel. And that's sort of where this fits in this book. It continues and says, "The dwarves of yore made mighty spells, while hammers fell like ringing bells, in places deep where dark things sleep, and hollowed halls beneath the fells. For ancient king and elvish lord, there many a gleaming golden hoard they shaped and wrought, and light they caught to hide in gems on hilt of sword." This one's interesting because it combines ancient king, meaning most likely dwarven kings, and elvish lords. We bring the elves into it and their ancient friendship and how they both had gleaming hordes, which is true. We know this for a fact. And they shaped and wrought and light they caught to hide in gems on hilt of sword. We don't know of a Silmarillion hiding on a hilt of a sword, but the idea that a gem is just something that naturally catches the light and then would decorate their weapons makes sense. "On silver necklaces they strung the flowering stars, on crowns they hung the dragon fire in twisted wire. They meshed the light of moon and sun." This has so much more meaning if you understand the Silmarillion. The light of the moon and the sun, they came from the trees, the decoration of crowns with stars, with gems that look like stars. This is something we've already heard about. It reminds me of Thingol having the dwarves work on a necklace to put the Silmarillion in. It's very similar. Then we get a repetition, like it's the chorus of the song, "Far Over the Misty Mountains Old," in that whole section. The next section says, "Goblets they carved there for themselves, and harps of gold where no man delves. There lay they long, and many a song was sung unheard by men or elves." This talks about their secrecy. No men or no man or elf goes down in these depths where the dwarves live, where they create all of this beauty. "The pines were roaring on the height. The winds were moaning in the night. The fire was red. It flaming spread. The trees, like torches, blazed with light." This is our first hint in the song that something is wrong. We've used the chorus to talk about how they need to leave very soon, that where they are going to claim their long-forgotten gold. We've seen in other parts of the song that it talks about how wonderful their home was, and the things that they loved about their home and the history of their culture, basically, craftsmanship and working with the elves and creating beautiful things deep underground. And then we have a fire. The bells were ringing in the dale, and men looked up with faces pale. The dragon's ire, more fierce than fire, laid low their towers and houses frail. Now, one thing to note here is dale is not capitalized. The bells were ringing in the dale. We come to find out later that dale itself was a city, which makes me wonder if this was something that was missed, or in the dale is a subtle reference to something we'll learn more about later when we discover that this was the name of the city whose towers and houses were destroyed by the dragon fire. Then the song finishes up. The mountain smoked beneath the moon. The dwarves, they heard the tramp of doom. They fled their hall to dying fall beneath his feet, beneath the moon. Far over the misty mountains grim, to dungeons deep and caverns dim, we must away ere break of day to win our harps and gold from him. And Bilbo is thoroughly enchanted by this. We're told that as he sang, the hobbit felt the love of beautiful things made by hands and by cunning and by magic moving through him. A fierce and a jealous love, the desire of the hearts of dwarves. The song resonated deeply with him. And then we're told, without any question at all, that something tookish woke up inside of him. The story so far has been hinting at this and kind of poking at it, and this is the first time we get confirmation that it actually happened. And then it says, he wished to go and see the great mountains and hear the pine trees and the waterfalls and explore the caves and wear a sword instead of a walking stick. He looked out of the window. The stars were out in a dark sky above the trees. He thought of the jewels of the dwarves shining in dark caverns. And then he's pulled out of it. A fire leaps up into the sky, and we're told that it was probably just somebody lighting a wood fire out in the distance, but it pulls him back. He shudders, and once again, he was plain Mr. Baggins of Bag End, Underhill, again. It's going to take a little bit more to get him to buy in on this adventure, and we'll continue that story next time. Thanks for tuning in again, and I'll see you soon. Thanks for listening to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast. If you'd like to learn more about other fantasy worlds, check out my other podcasts, The Elder Scrolls Lorecast, The Witcher Lorecast, and more at robotsradio.net. If you'd like to reach out, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a note on Twitter at robots_radio, or join our amazing community on the Robots Radio Discord. There are links in the show notes, or just search Robots Radio Discord, or find the link on robotsradio.net. I'll see you next time.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.